Hey everyone, this is Ashley Rowley with Behind the Dish Softball and Colorado Softball Academy. I have to tell you that I have a new favorite training tool with my hitters and catchers in the Max BP Reaction Training System. You guys, this machine is awesome. I've been able to implement some of the drills with my intro hitters all the way up through my elite hitters, as well as my catchers behind the plate. And their ability to refine their focus level and increase reaction time with the use of this machine has been awesome in the few short weeks that we've been able to implement these drills. I highly recommend you check out this machine and these tools at maxbp.com. It's the Max BP Reaction Training System. And I gotta tell you guys, honestly, I'm loving this and I'm seeing huge gains. I highly recommend this system. Welcome to today's episode of Behind the Dish Softball with your hosts, Ashley Rowley, Shelby Babcock, and Dr. Allie Dake. If you haven't done so, please hit that subscribe button so you never miss another episode. And be sure to follow us on social media at Behind the Dish SB. Again, on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook at Behind the Dish SB. Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of Behind the Dish Softball. I'm your co-host Ashley Rowley, along with Shelby Babcock and Dr. Allison Dake, also known as Allie D. Today we are going to talk about kind of an extension of our last episode of Parents Say the Darndest Things. We're going to expand that scope a little bit and talk about having the courage to have hard conversations and stand up for yourself as a woman, as a player, and in life. I don't know about you ladies, but I've had quite the week of hard conversations and different interactions with audiences ranging from parents to umpires to athletes. So really the common theme from all of these is having that courage to have a hard conversation. It's not easy to do, but understanding who you are, understanding what you believe in, and knowing when something is not okay to stand up for yourself and to advocate for yourself. So that's going to be the topic of this week. Ladies, where would you like me to start? Which story shall I tell first?
Let's start with the umpire episode.
Okay, so we had a game Tuesday. Now, I'm not a perfect human. However, I think I handled this okay. Well, better than I would.
Okay, well.
Wait, listen, I was going to say, actually, it wasn't that bad.
No. It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad, but
it could have been a lot worse.
It could have been, and probably you 20 years ago as
collegiate. That would have been a good one. That would have been a good one. That would have been,
So the spectrum of growth is awesome.
Yes, it's good. It's good. All right, so let's be, you know, genuine. We're all about authenticity here. So had a game Tuesday. I was restricted to the dugout, also known as the umpire put me in timeout. Now, he was horrific, horrific. So I'll tell a story, right? We're in the middle of the first inning and he comes in and he's popping off about our field and then he doesn't like it. And he was just making our field an issue the whole time. And it was really strange. So anyways, I could tell that he was not a fan from the minute he stepped on the field. So, okay. We're in the bottom half of the first. We've got one out, a runner on third. We had a fly ball to right. Runner tags. She goes. She beats the throw by a foot. I mean, the catcher tags her in the chest. She's under the tag. The umpire calls her out. I walked up to him. I mean, I was walking at a quicker pace, but I wasn't like aggressive, right? And he turned around, and of course, you've got this, the parents in the stands for the other team are cheering and all this stuff, right? And so he turns around, and I went to open my mouth to say, hey, sir, she beat the tag. Can we ask for help? And he, like, came at me and was like, it was an obstruction. And then, of course, I was triggered, and I matched his tone, and I said, I didn't say it was obstruction. I said, she beat the tag. So he was like, no, she didn't. I said, great. Well, it was a bad call. You missed it and you know it. And I walked away. I turned around. I walked back to the third base dugout and I could feel the pause. And I said, yep, here it goes. And he goes, you are restricted to the dugout, which I didn't even know was a thing. Like, you're either gone or you're not. And he goes, let's get this over with early, kid. And I looked at him. I said, I'm not your kid. I said, you and I'll have a great conversation after this game. He goes, no, we won't. And I said, yeah, communication's tough for you, isn't it? Now, that is me and that's my personality. Okay, what triggered him? I said, you missed it and you know it. And I knew when those words came out of my mouth, I was like, he's about to get fired up. But also, like, don't turn around and come at me with the tone that you did in my face and expect me to roll over, right? So I was putting time out during the game. It became like a running joke. It was funny. So I wasn't officially kicked out. I was just putting time out.
Just in time out. Penalty box.
So, but I talked to my team, you know, I talked to my team about it yesterday because we're trying to teach life lessons. And in this game, and I'm just going to go out and say it, this game was thrown. That very play, and I knew this was going to be a tight game, was the differentiator. If that was called appropriately, we would have won that game 4-3 in 7 innings. Instead, we went 10 innings and we lost 5-3. And this umpire was good old boy buddies with the coach in the opposite dugout to the point where they would laugh it up and have, you know, cheers it up in between every half inning kind of thing. It was noticeable that with runners in scoring position, we were getting 2-strike calls out of the zone every single time, right? So that game was stolen from these kids. And that was really what I was really angry about. And so I told them yesterday, I said, listen, I'm a hothead. That's just the way that I'm wired. I handled that much better than I would have, as you said, 20 years ago. But I told them, I said, I'm also not one that will back down in a situation and let someone walk all over me. I will hold my ground. And I told them, I said, I will fight for you to the grave. Even if that means that I get put in timeout or I get kicked out of the game, I will fight for you and I will stand up for what's right. And I told him, I said, ladies, there will be times in your life. There are men out there that will not appreciate your presence, will not respect it, will not value it. And at that point, you have to choose to stand up for yourself and have that hard conversation. And so it was a good teaching moment with the girls.
It is a great teaching moment. It really was. And I know it was, we've kind of had fun now that it's decompressed and laughed about it. But I think it is a really great example of, I thought also too, a little bit of how, what temperature does your water boil?
No, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I thought about that.
I crossed that threshold. You know,
but what I will say on behind, we had a week around here that totally added to that. We had a whole bunch of other scenarios where that made your temperature quickly. So it was already there. But I think it was a great example of being vulnerable, putting yourself out there, and then coming back and to those that look at you or look at any woman as a role model, saying, this is what I did and I'm owning it. Mm-hmm. And here's why I'm sorry, but here's why I'm not sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Right? I'm not sorry in that situation.
I'm unapologetically not sorry.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry that it happened. I stood up for it. And I'm sorry that it happened and if it was a distraction, but I'm also not sorry that it happened. Right.
Yeah.
And so we had another scenario. Like I said, it's been a week.
Yeah, and it added into that moment.
Yes.
That was the end of the week.
This was before the game. This was a different day, Friday last week, but had an athlete in here for a lesson and dad was in here. And one of our coaches was training here, going through a hitting lesson. And I walked out and it just didn't, the energy in the room didn't feel right. I walked into the academy to say hi, to catch up with this kiddo. It didn't feel right. Right. And so I'm saying, hi, hey kiddo, how are you? And just kind of touching base on her 2 weeks and how she was doing. And my coach was like, hey, she played it really, really well. She's like, hey, just sent you a text. I know you got to leave for your game, but just want to make sure you see that before you leave. And I looked at it and it was like, hey, this is not a comfortable situation between dad and daughter. She's acting very strange around him. So I was like, all right. And so I was chatting with her just how her week was. And she said, hey, before you leave, I got a question for you. And so she asked my opinion on 2 different scenarios, which happened to be about a pregame fielding approach. What do I teach? And so I answered the question and said, this is what I teach and why. And my other coach confirmed, she was like, yep, this is why we set up this way. And the dad stood up aggressively. You could tell that he was just, might've been having a rough day, something. And he goes, I completely disagree. And I was like, okay. And he started going on and on, and he was talking. And so, and it wasn't a collaborative, like you could really tell that like he was on a hill for this one. Right. And so we were trying to talk to him and say why we teach what we teach. And he then stops and he says, well, I'm talking to three women, so this conversation is not going to go anywhere. And he sat down. So in that moment, I had a choice, because I had a 14-year-old girl watching. I had one of my employees and coaches watching how I respond to this situation. And so at first, I kind of had to think through a little bit. And I said, easy, bud. I said, don't pull the woman card on me. You asked my professional opinion, so I gave it to you. So at that point, to change gears and change the subject, I looked at the athlete and I said, hey, kiddo, how's your swing feeling? She said two words, dad chimed in. And I looked at this kid and I could see the tears in her eyes. And I said, why don't you come walk with me, sis? And she and I went for a walk, and just the floodgates open. And the first thing was, she goes, I can't make adjustments with him in my head all the time. Yeah. Just always, always, always. And so we were able to spend some time, get her back together, get her back in the cage. And here comes the having hard conversations, right? I could have left it at that. Mm-hmm. But I said, sir, come walk with me. And he sat down and we just talked. I said, what's going on today? You and I have never had that kind of interaction before. And he was having a rough day. I said, first of all, he said, you pulled the woman card, said, don't pull that woman card. I said, 100% I did. You don't pull that card in my house. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, it didn't mean anything. I said, it was offensive, and perception is reality. And I'm offended by that comment. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's a situation where, was that conversation incredibly uncomfortable? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also had a choice in that moment to model the kind of leadership that we are trying to teach to these kids in that moment for my young coach and for this young girl. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's having the courage to stand up for what is right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We could have ignored it, could have moved on. But the whole reason that CSA exists is to empower these young ladies to know, to believe in themselves and to know what's appropriate and what's not, mm-hmm. and what's acceptable and what's not, right?
Yeah.
An umpire screaming in my face, not acceptable to me. I'm going to come in right at you. Like, who do you think you are? You're not going to bulldoze me, right? Mm-hmm. A dad making that kind of comment in front of his daughter, in front of my assistant coach, to me in my house, not acceptable.
Right.
Right. And so that's a point where you've got to learn, if that struck a chord, then it needs to be addressed.
Absolutely. It needs to be addressed.
The other scenario is different, but it's in the arena of advocating for yourself. And I had a parent call me and concerned, just in a pickle with where his daughter's at. You know, they play for a great club team, which is a big investment. They invest in hitting lessons, and she's kind of getting the short end of the stick on her high school team. She's not getting the opportunities. Someone was pulled up, put in front of, you know, we know the story. It happens a lot. But mom and dad are to the point, like, you have got to go talk to coach, kid. And she, you know, right after the game, she's like, yeah, I'm going to talk to him in the morning. And then she woke up and I'm not. And so they're, you know, kind of at a point saying, why are we going to invest all of this if you're not going to hold up your part and advocate for what you want?
Absolutely.
If you're okay just being rolled, you know, mm-hmm. sitting on the bench because you won't have the hard conversation, and they know you won't, so you're the easy one to not put it in the lineup.
Exactly.
You know, why are we going to invest in hitting lessons? Why are we putting this travel team and all this stuff, mm-hmm. right? And so giving her the courage, and it's a conversation we'll have in her next lesson, but saying, how do you stand up for yourself mm-hmm. and advocate for yourself, mm-hmm. knowing that it's hard and it's uncomfortable and it's not a warm fuzzy, yeah. and tears are going to come out, because you know what? I didn't have the ability to have those conversations without tears for a long time.
No, yeah.
because we're emotional beings. Mm-hmm. I've sat in front of the corporate world, in front of my boss, and frustrated to have a conversation, and the tears come out, not because I'm weak and sad, because I'm frustrated, and that's how I express emotion.
Right? That's emotion, right? Exactly.
I do think it gets easier
as you keep doing that in your life, though. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I mean, practice. I still have, yeah, practice makes perfect, right? So, I mean, I feel like I have definitely had moments, same, but I do feel like it's gotten easier. Mm-hmm. And I still feel that way. I mean, it's uncomfortable. It mm-hmm. is. It's not something that's easy by any means. But one of my stories that I have, kind of piggybacking off of last episode that we did with the parents, but same mm-hmm. vibe. You know, I have a dad and a daughter who they love each other unconditionally, right? It was a dad and daughter that love each other unconditionally. But when they get in here, they butt heads. I can see her throwing the ball at him as hard as she can from 10 feet away. You know, it's just,
that's
it's,
amazing.
Yeah, it is, but it's not amazing.
No,
it's
in, and then
it gets worse.
It's fun to have your daughter do that.
Yeah, right. But so I had to have the uncomfortable conversation with both of them of, hey, maybe you two shouldn't be, you know,
mm-hmm.
you shouldn't be catching her anymore. And maybe you need to take back and be dad and not trying to be there as a coach or catching her, because obviously that's something that triggers. And I've had that conversation with actually a lot of parents and their kids, because I went through the same thing with my dad. I love my dad. He is my best friend. He is my number one fan. He goes to softball games with me now to watch my girls. And it's amazing. But when I was, I think, 11 or 12, my coach had to have a conversation because I chucked the ball at my dad as hard as I could at 12. And at 12 years old, I was throwing 60 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 feet back, I chucked it at his shin because I was so mad. And she had to have a conversation with me of, hey, you two, you know, need to have this separation.
This
and
is no longer working.
Yeah. And so, but those uncomfortable conversations, right, lead to better things on the other side, is what I'm trying to get out here. My dad and I obviously are best friends, and he means the world to me and one of my biggest supporters. And I don't know, honestly, if we would have ever gotten there if he didn't step back.
Mm-hmm. Step back.
So
yes.
That's definitely huge.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely huge.
Well, that goes part of my message last week, stand down.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
won't go there. I've been on this all week.
I was going to write a book.
I'm writing all these girls,
yes.
right? To be
yes.
able to stand up and tell how you're feeling, right? It is, it's super hard, but it'll be better. It will be better. That
it
open
does.
Line of communication is huge.
Well, there's so much fear behind.
There is. And there's fear of like reciprocity and reciprocity.
Reciprocity.
There
it is.
Words are hard.
Words are hard today. It's the end of the week. Or consequences, right? Especially
fear of disappointment.
Right now, I have so many kiddos coming in, and they are so afraid of speaking up to their varsity coaches. And a lot of I don't know what's happening this season, but there's been a lot of turmoil between coaches and kids out there, and they're afraid to speak up. They're afraid to be a lot of them say, I don't want to be the bitch on the team. Excuse mm-hmm. the language, mm-hmm. but that's what they're saying, mm-hmm. like straight up saying to me, I don't want to be that bitch. So I have a formula that I've given them all to use when they're in these hard situations. And I think, I know I've talked about it before, but I feel like it fits really well with learning to speak up as we go and making it a little bit easier. So I feel blank when you blank. So I need blank. So you could say, I feel overwhelmed. I feel frustrated, because mm-hmm. you're talking about yourself. You're not saying that they are, even though it might be their action doing that to you. I feel frustrated when you do not play me. So I need to have a conversation about when I can play, or what do I need to do? Can we have a conversation about how I can start to play? What do I need to do to play,
mm-hmm.
for example? And it opens up that conversation without charging at somebody. And so that person becomes on the defensive. And mm-hmm. the girls have found that this really, really works.
Yeah.
Now in the moment, in the heat moments, mm-hmm. it goes, everything kind of can go mm-hmm. out the door, mm-hmm. right? But I heard you even saying that with the father,
mm-hmm.
right? Hey, let's go for a talk. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't normally act like this. What's going on? I need this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you,
mm-hmm.
I need you not to talk like this in my house. You were using that formula
mm-hmm.
even kind of in a little bit different way, but knowing
well, but you nailed it. To have those hard conversations, really that opening sentence will set the tone of
it
that.
Does.
If you come at somebody with, you did this, that's mm-hmm. not going to go well because they trigger the defense.
Right.
But if you really are intentional about coach, I'm struggling with this.
Yes.
Please help me understand what's happening.
Yeah, I don't. Yes. Like,
right. Why am I not playing? Yes. Right. So there's
like, you're not playing me, you're playing her, and I know I'm better, or whatever it might be. There's a huge difference in that delivery. Mm-hmm. And so I've been teaching a lot of girls this season on opening it up the conversation by, I feel blank. Right. Mm-hmm. And they are reporting back that it's working, that they actually got heard and now they understand. Because in that regard to that conversation, coaches get busy and they make the playlists and the lineups and they get going, and they may tend to slip through the crack to like, let these girls know what's going on because it's quick and it's fast and it's moving. And so this opens up that dialogue.
Yeah.
So that very first intentional sentence, being vulnerable is really, really hard, but having the hard conversations, you will actually come out with more self-confidence on the other side.
And listen, this is what's going to happen. The first time you have these, you're going to open your mouth and you're going to start to choke up and tear up. It is going to happen, and it's normal and it's okay, but keep going. Take a deep breath and keep talking, because some tears will come out. You'll get the weird, you know, chin quiver and the ugly face. And then you'll compose yourself as you keep talking, and you'll be able to talk.
And I also recommend having them record it in their phones to practice saying it. Mm-hmm. So that first, at least that first opening sentence that they say is nice and strong and calm, cool and collected and clear. And then what comes after that will come after that. But the, practice it, recording it, and listening to yourself, so you're very confident. You can get the ums out of there, and like the stress words, and really
the first one you have is going to be messy,
and it's okay.
But you know what? Open your mouth and say the words.
Speak up.
Stand up for yourself. If you're feeling it inside, and every day you're feeling the same thing, and it's wrapping you up, that means that it's not okay with you.
Yeah.
And that means you have to stand up for yourself, and you have to say something, you have to advocate. And that is a good thing.
Yeah.
It is a life skill, and it's necessary.
Well, and you're only going to be able to change if you change.
Yeah.
Like, well, you have to change it. And I know that change is uncomfortable sometimes. That's a big thing I've been hearing from my girls. They're just so comfortable with where they're at right now.
Yeah.
That they're fearful of change. And that's what one thing I urge is to not be fearful of change, because it makes you grow. And it's so much better. I mean, you just grow.
And you do.
I will say, kind of a rule of thumb too, if somebody's meeting you with aggression, when you need to stand up for yourself, meet that aggression with the same aggression, not more, not less.
I can't tell you where I was at.
Looking at her, and I'm not speaking.
Boiling water.
But if you can remember.
I would need Mal to tell me where I was at. I don't know where I was at.
But if you meet aggression with aggression, and you meet love with love, and you meet kindness with kindness, like when you have to have these conversations. So even with, you know, the dad in the cage scenario, you came back. That was good. Like, you came back, because if you do that, you're not going to let that person walk on you, because you're standing up and you're meeting them where they're at. If you kind of come a little bit lower, they're still going to take that edge. And that is a practice and an art that you have to find, that gets refined over time. Right.
You know, and what's funny, it's interesting you say that. For me, it's something that I've learned about myself. So it different, obviously, when I look at the umpire situation, I look at the dad in the cage situation. My tone was obviously very different. Now, emotion plays into that huge. Against the umpire, I'm in a game, right? Attention, adrenaline pressure. Is running, attention, excitement, all the emotions are high, okay? It was harder for me to keep a calm tone. Now, what I find about me is, with that conversation in the cage, I was talking just like this. It was calm, and my tone was low and soft, and I was like, what's going on today, man? Right. And so that helped kind of set the tone for the conversation. But if I would have said, what's going on?
Yeah, it's different.
There's a difference right there. And that's going to set that tone of that conversation. So emotions play huge into it. The tone of your voice play. But, the biggest thing, you know, when the communication is a skill you learn over time and over practice and experience, you're going to mess it up. You're going to go the shoulda, coulda, wouldas the first time, you know, many, many times, many, many years. But the biggest thing I want you guys to know is stand up for yourself and who you are and what you believe in and what you want. When you know you've worked hard for something and you've earned something, don't stand be afraid to advocate for that. So fight for yourself. And also, don't be a doormat. And right. Don't allow people to treat you the ways that you know you deserve better. Yeah. And as women and as leaders and coaches and moms, we have to model that leadership that we're trying to teach these kids.
Yeah.
And so as coaches, we find ourselves in a spotlight in those hard moments. And how we respond to those moments is teaching these girls.
Yep.
It's showing them. I mean, I love what you told me earlier. Your daughter said, like, I love that she's not perfect. Oh, heck no, I'm not perfect. Like, I could, you know,
vulnerability.
If I were to go do that different, could I have left out the part of you missed it and you know it? Yes. But that's also an Ashley dig, right?
Right.
And so
we
that's
how do that.
But we will say he came at you very aggressive too.
He did.
And that's where I was going, is that you actually turned and met aggression with aggression.
Oh, I met aggression totally, with aggression.
Right. And but if you had not, when you walked away, you would have been like, I didn't stand up for myself.
Yeah. Well,
and it could have spiraled. Not maybe right. not here, got
yeah,
but somebody else learning this. You would have could have spiraled down, and the rest of the game it would have been with you, and
right.
you would have been. It actually would have made more boiling happen.
Right.
And so that's what I'm saying, if somebody stand up for what you believe and stand up for what's right, and do it when it's confrontational, with meet that person's energy, meet it where it's at, so that you are not the doormat, you are not getting walked on.
Exactly.
Yep.
Cool.
Well, ladies, that was actually, I think that was needed
100%.
So, 100%. Yeah. Well, as always, guys, you can find us on any platform to listen to this. Really, really good topic. And we will holla at you next week.
Holla at you, girl.
Holla at ya.
All right. Y'all have a great week.
Bye. Have a great week.
Be good humans. Make good choices. Thank you for spending your time with us today. We appreciate the opportunity to get to share our experiences and knowledge with you. If you haven't had a chance yet, please hit that subscribe button so you can tune in on future episodes, and be sure to follow us on social media at Behind the Dish SB for future episode information and guests. Make it a great day.